Welcome to another episode of the Dutch in Denver podcast. I know we've kind of fallen behind. It's been about 2 weeks since we had one of these things up here, but I've been busy with shit, and I'm not sure you guys even like this. If you would subscribe, follow us on the Twitter, at Dutch in Denver, maybe I would know. Even if you don't like me, still tell me or still listen, because I don't care if you hate me, just listen to the thing. So this week we have one of my good friends, Sam. You can find him on the Twitter, at Godhead007. And he will be our out-of-towner for the week. Sam, how you doing this week, buddy?
Pretty damn good, bro. How's things in Denver?
Denver's not good, dude. It's almost mid-May. It snowed about 14 inches this weekend. And then it snowed again today. So I'm hating life right now, buddy. I really am. I want it to be summer.
Well, then come to Georgia and feel some of this sweaty balls heat we got here.
Sam's down in Atlanta. He's on remote this week out of Tennessee, home of the wonderful Jack Daniels. But he's down there in Atlanta. So we got lots to talk about this week. The NFL draft happened, in case you guys didn't know that. Johnny Manziel watched from the sidelines, as he will in the NFL. Big gay black guy kissed a small white guy. And the Broncos completely fucked themselves once again. So let's dive right into it. First impressions of the draft. Sam's an Atlanta Falcons fan, so we'll get their perspective. So let's hear it, buddy. What grade are you going to give the Atlanta Falcons?
I give them a B+.
B as in boy?
Yes, B as in boy.
All right.
Jake Matthews is a beast. I think that he is going to help. I think that they slacked off last season a little bit on purpose to try to trade up. To try to get Clowney. I'm actually kind of glad that they didn't, because I think Clowney is going to be one of those busts in about 3 or 4 years.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that the Atlanta Falcons pulled an NBA move and they tanked on purpose to get Javon Clowney, Jadavion or whatever Clowney?
In my opinion... I think that in week 9 or 10, when their season was freaking shot all to hell, they're like, let's lose those last few games and get a better draft pick. And then because of their strength of schedule, they felt, what was it, like 4 teams that finished with the same record, they could have went anywhere in the top 3 to 6, all right? And because of their strength schedule, they fell to the 6th spot. And I think if they would have went to 5, take Oakland's pick, move up, they would have gotten Clowney. I think they would have.
Well, 3 to 6 wouldn't have got him Clowney. Clowney went number 1, man. They would have had to get that number 1 pick.
I know that. I'm saying trading up from 6 to 1 is a hell of a lot harder than trading up from 5 to 1, 4 to 1, 3 to 1, and so on.
I don't know, man. That number 1 pick, they would have had to sell the farm. They would have had to sacrifice a goat, a virgin, and 9 babies to get that number 1 pick.
I think they might have tried, but I'll settle with Jake Matthews. Strong bloodline, family history goes back probably decades. I mean, it's crazy. Clay Matthews, of course, plays for the Cheeseheads. He's a beast. Needs to stay off TV a little bit too much. Too many guys.
Clay Matthews needs a goddamn haircut is what he needs. He needs to quit doing dirty plays, and he needs a goddamn haircut. He looks like Rapunzel running around out there. I hate Clay Matthews. Don't get me wrong. I'll be the first to admit it. I think he looks like a little princess. I think he's a dirty player, and he's not as good as everyone makes him out to be for the dirty plays that he does. The guy's a douchebag.
He is dirty. But the hair, I mean, yes, it needs to go, but at least it's not Polamalu, where he took down
the only reason it's not Polamalu is he's not black.
Yeah, but he took out $1 million insurance policy on his freaking hair, dude. That's crazy.
I don't know. I mean, Michael Sam might need a new boyfriend. Speaking of the sidelines of the draft, well, let's get into the Broncos. I give the Broncos a D, as in dumb, for their draft. First round pick, 5'11", 195-pound corner, Bradley Roby. Horrible, horrible pick. And I'll tell you why. We do not need a 5'11 corner. We've been over this before with Raheem Moore, Harris Jr. You cannot be a short corner anymore. The Seahawks have proved it. You need big, physical corners. Roby's fast. That's fine. We play Larry Fitzgerald this year. So you're going to keep up with Larry the entire way. You're both going to be sitting in the end zone together. Peyton's going to load it up. He's going to throw it in there. Larry Fitzgerald's going to jump the fuck over you and take that ball away from your small ass.
I could see that.
Of course I can see that. You're 5'11". You're an inch shorter than me, and you're 25 pounds, not quite, 20 pounds lighter than I am. And I'm a fat white guy sitting in Denver criticizing you. Even I know that we need bigger corners, and I do not understand why the Broncos do not get a proven method. The NFL is a copycat league. We know that. You copy what works. Seattle has big physical defensive backs. So what do? You draft big defensive backs. The Broncos? Ah, fuck that. No, we're not doing that. Now, granted, in free agency, they did make some smart free agent moves with big defensive backs, physicals. Tlaib and Ward, I think, will be good. But those are only two guys, man. I'm so disappointed in their draft. They're free agent monsters, and then we go to the draft, and it's like Jerry Jones is in that war room with us, fucking our team up.
Well, I mean, like, okay, their defense, for one, needed some help. And did they even, I guess this you'd be the best person to ask about, but did they even pick up a receiver at the draft?
Oh, we did. We got Cody Latimer, which, good kid. I think he's going to be the replacement for Decker, or attempt to be. But, again, we need a defense more than we need receivers.
Yeah. That's exactly what Atlanta needed. So, I mean, I can feel you for that. But when I was looking at Denver, I was like, defense, defense, defense. And then, I mean, they didn't have, like, the greatest draft selection. You know, what did they go? 31.
31.
Yeah. Did they pick anybody in the third round, did they?
I think we missed out on the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah. Yeah. That just always hurts.
You're telling me there was no cornerbacks over 6'2" that you could have taken.
That's draft analysis, baby. That's the way these players work. They put too much emphasis on fucking ESPN's fucking Mache and...
Oh, don't even get me started on those idiots at ESPN.
I think it just gets watered down. They put too much on ESPN and Fox Sports and all these analysts, and it's like, okay, well, we're going to tell you who's going to go from 1 to 260. Well, there was about 220 that just blew my mind where they went. They could have went higher. They could have went lower.
So you're telling me that an NFL team puts stock in anything an ESPN analyst has to say?
And I hate ESPN.
Those guys are fucking morons. They are an abortion when it comes to sports reporting. If it's not LeBron James or the Heat or the Yankees, they're not going to report about it. Or Michael Sam kissing some dude. Or our next topic, Johnny Manziel. God. How?
Well, okay, well, I do have to kind of disagree with you on one part. All right, you got to give LeBron James a little bit of credit for what he's doing. I'm a little bit older than you are. I grew up an MJ fan, but I still have respect for what LeBron's doing for the game today. But Manziel, Tim Tebow, all these fucking project quarterbacks, fuck them.
Wait a minute.
They're going to, even if they're, what the Browns saying, Manziel's going to be a backup. Okay, that's going to last all of, what, 2 weeks. They're going to put him in there. He's going to get fucked up, and he's going to sit out a season, and he's going to end up being what Brandon Whedon is right now, a piece of shit quarterback.
Oh, John Manziel's going to get murdered.
Well, he's not even 5'10", 5'11"?
Depending on who you talk to, they got him listed at 6 foot, like 205 or 207. That kid's not 5'10". He's not 200 pounds. And when you have a 320-pound linebacker, or lineman, excuse me, who's running just as fast, if not faster than you are, you're going to get murdered.
Yep. And late when that defense breaks up and one of those 300-pounders rams right into your ass, what is that going to do to his maybe 180-pound, 170-pound soaking wet body?
It's going
to
break him. Johnny Manziel is going to be the first NFL player to be murdered on the field.
And all this bullshit about his what was it, like 200,000 jerseys he sold and 2,000 season ticket sales.
Oh, who cares?
That outdid Colt, RG3, Tim Tebow, and the fucker from Indiana.
Luck?
The quarterback for...
Bridgewater?
For the Colts.
Luck?
Yeah. All three of their jerseys, they're like bragging about the shit on TV. Like Tim Tebow, Luck, and all their jerseys combined, like he outsold those in like 24 hours. I was like, who the fuck cares? You sell a jersey.
ESPN cares, dude. ESPN is in love with Johnny Manziel. I mean, I dreaded watching SportsCenter every morning because it was 99% Johnny Manziel and the draft. I mean, how much were they freaking out when Johnny Manziel didn't go in the top five? Like, I know they got ratings because, you know, everybody wants to see where he's going to go. But all those idiots who made their mock drafts, by the way, you're all fucking morons. Who cares what you think about the draft? If anyone cared, you'd be on in an NFL war room helping those guys. But no one fucking cares. That's why you're on ESPN. That's why you're the laughingstock of the sports world. Because you had Johnny Manziel going in the top five, and that moron didn't go before 20.
Where did you have him going?
I had him, I said not before 20. I mean, Vegas had him over and under at 4.5, and I took the over all day.
Okay, now throw all that away and just go with your gut instinct. Where, if you were a GM of an NFL 32 teams, where would you draft Johnny Manziel?
It depends. If I'm going for PR, like I think the Browns are,
of course,
I would have taken him where I took him. If I want to win, I would not draft Johnny Manziel. He is no use to my team as a football player.
Yep, undraft free agent. That's where he deserves to be. If anything, he needs to be the 257th Mr. Irrelevant. That's where he needs to be.
He doesn't need to be in the NFL.
Irrelevant.
He'll be the Tim Tebow of the NFL. He'll be a washed up has been by his second year.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think he'll win a postseason victory like Tim Tebow did, even though Tim Tebow sucks too. But he did have one playoff win, and of course it was luck. It was pure luck. But I don't think Johnny will do. And it's the Browns. Come on. When have they even been relevant?
I don't think ever. And then, you know, your number one receiver, Josh Gordon, is going to be sitting out for a year because he can't quit smoking pot.
dude. And then what did they follow up that with today, which was just icing on the cake, that the NFL is researching possibly to lower marijuana penalties in the NFL. So now we're telling the kids that, hey, look, our star quarterbacks, our best wide receivers out here, they smoke dope. go have it, kids. Go get you some drugs.
Well, you know, if you live in hippie town, Colorado, it's not drugs. It's medicine that we have recreationalized. All right? And, I mean, you know, I know plenty of people that would say that heroin is medicine. So let's recreationalize heroin.
Well, if you want to take that road, look at the U.S. government. They actually classify marijuana as a stage one drug, where heroin and cocaine, which have quote-unquote medical reasons, is a stage two drug. So the government that we pay, our government says that cocaine and heroin are better for you than marijuana.
I say the heroin and cocaine are better for you.
Yes, I know you would.
Someone who might have indulged a time or two, I know the benefits of those. I know the benefits of Bud Light. Yeah, and if Anheuser-Busch is listening, I would love to plug Bud Light on this show.
Dude, that would be fantastic.
Oh, it would. That would be the only sponsor I'd ever need, is Bud Light. You don't even have to pay me actual money. Just give me Bud Light. And
okay, let me use your name and have like a backdrop.
Oh, I don't need a backdrop because this is a podcast and there's no video, thank God. But yeah, I'd plug Bud Light. Bud Light is delicious. It's refreshing. It makes me tolerate the world around me. Yes, it might be a crutch, but it's one I'm willing to accept. It's my cross to bear.
And it lets you tolerate women.
Oh, dude, don't even. We'll get to that. You have no idea. So, the last part of this draft thing, Michael Sam, who was drafted in the, fifth to last, I think it was, Mr. Irrelevant himself. There is some stipulation that he was drafted only because he was an openly gay player, and that somehow the NFL stepped in and said, hey, he's gay, you gotta draft him.
Totally agree with it. You want to know why?
Of course I want to know why.
All right, well, for one, it's California. Right?
No, he actually is not in California. He got drafted to the Rams, St. Louis.
St. Louis. It's St. Louis.
Hometown.
And his hometown, you know, he went to Missouri. He had, one good year, I think?
I mean, if you can call that good, but yeah.
He was the co-SEC player of the year. And don't even ask me who the other person was.
Johnny Manziel, probably.
Probably. And if I had to pick between Johnny Manziel and Michael Sam, I would probably take Michael Sam because at least he can somewhat contribute. Maybe not defensively, maybe special teams. You know, that's going to be his bread and butter. I'd be surprised if he even makes – well, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes the team. Because if he doesn't make the team, then you're going to have all these gay activists out here saying, well, he didn't make the team because he's gay.
Oh, it'll be hate crime. But what I'm asking is that,
gave him a chance.
Is that such a bad thing? I mean, the NFL is long known as a straight man's club, okay? I mean – it's kind of like the military. There's, don't get me wrong, I'm not gay bashing here, but there's really no place in an NFL locker room for him. I mean, you're playing around a bunch of ignorant macho men who are going to be convinced you're checking out their dicks in the shower. And do you really need that toxic atmosphere in an NFL locker room? Whether he is checking out dicks or not, which, I mean, I don't think it will, because if you saw his boyfriend, I mean, that guy is not an NFL player, so he's obviously into little white guys. So, I mean, maybe he'll go for a kicker. But, I mean, do you want that toxicity in the locker room?
Well, I got two things to say about this. I think that ESPN and pretty much anybody that has a fucking channel put that damn kiss on there on replay. They have their fucking iPads up. They have their damn Android devices up. They hit replay, replay, replay. How many times do I need to see another guy kiss another guy? And it wasn't just that first kiss or the second kiss or the third kiss. I mean, it was like Michael Sam was specifically doing that shit on purpose to see what kind of reaction it would get. Well, and, I mean, it really got old. The second part to my reaction to it was after he got drafted, I thought about it a little bit. And then after his press conference, I thought about it a little bit more. All right? If I'm an NFL player, I try to put myself in their shoes. All right? I was sitting there. I'm watching TV. If you come to my stadium, my team, and you tell me that you're gay, but you're a pretty decent football player, I'm probably not going to have a problem with that as long as you do your job well. But then I saw the kiss, and then the kiss, and then the other kiss, and now it's like you put that in contract. You actually see what's going on, and then you put him in that locker room with, you know, 50-plus other guys who just walk around, and you're wondering, is he checking me out? You want to bring that kind of attitude, that kind of hostility, that kind of, like, pent-up pressure into your locker room.
Well, of course, I don't know, man. That's what I'm saying. You know, first of all, of course it was done on purpose. What kind of last pick, which he really was, Mr. Irrelevant, fifth from last, who has a camera in their living room when you're about ready to be the last pick in the draft? Nobody. The only reason he had a camera in there is because he was gay. And again, I got no problem with gay people. But in a setting like this, keep it to yourself. Who the fuck cares? Go play football.
Exactly.
You being gay has no bearing on your ability to play football. At least it shouldn't.
No. I still believe, I mean, I'm old-fashioned. I believe in the, you know, what was it? The military used to say, no talk.
Don't ask, don't tell, man. Keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, that brings me up, because I asked my dad about this, because he was in the military. Thanks for his service. But I asked him, you know, you're all right with, you know, gays in the military. And he says, hell no. I don't need two lovers fighting it out in a foxhole when we're getting shot at and you guys are complaining that you didn't get a kiss goodnight last night. Because your head is not going to be in the battle when you're having a lover's quarrel and you guys are getting bombed on.
Well,
so, I mean, he's old-fashioned. But keep it to yourself. If you want to be gay in the military, be gay in the military. But you don't have to shout it from the hilltops. And I'm not trying to silence this guy, okay? But, I mean, come on, dude. You know the ramifications of this. And if you're doing it for publicity, bravo, mission accomplished. I don't care.
Well, let me ask you a question. Right? This is a two-parter. You know whose jersey sold the second most to Johnny Manziel's over draft?
I would hope Clowney.
Michael Sam.
Well,
he beat out the number one draft pick. And the number two thing that kind of irritates me is when Michael Sam was drafted, a seven-year-old kid saw it on television. A seven-year-old boy who doesn't know what a dick does.
Oh, we're getting into this.
Came out and told his father that he was gay. And what does his father do? Oh, ESPN, my son's a fag. I want some money. I mean, come on.
Okay,
that
so...
is all kinds of wrong.
Well, is that good?
That boy has no life until he graduates and goes to college where somebody can forget about him, you know?
Well, is that good? Is Michael Sam going to be the new face of gay activism? Are all these closet homosexuals now going to have the guts to come out and be who they really are? Because, again, if you're gay, be gay. I mean, go for it, dude. Be as gay as you want to be. Just, A, don't be gay on me. And if you are, I'll politely say, hey, I don't swing that way. And B, you shouldn't have to hide it in 2014, but there's a line,
I agree.
I mean, it's the NFL, okay? If it were any other walk of life, I'd say, you know what, buddy? go out there. Go be that beautiful flamingo that you want to be. But in the boys' club that is the NFL, if you're not a first-round number one pick, is it really your place to bring that into a locker room? And does an NFL team have to accept that? And if they don't, can we not label it a hate crime?
Well, if the NFL doesn't, then they're going to take flack from other pro sports that have already, and if you want to say it, embraced it, like the NBA.
Well, the NBA hasn't really embraced it. I couldn't tell you the name of the player who came out as gay.
He's one of those Brooklyn guys.
The whole team in Brooklyn is gay. Send your hate mail at Dutch in Denver. I couldn't even tell you his name. He's irrelevant because ESPN didn't, you know, make a month-long story about him all day, every day. And I'm just wondering why they've chose to do Michael Sam. Probably because it's the NFL machine.
I'll tell you why. It's because the reason why they didn't give the NBA player from Brooklyn as much exposure is because he's at the end of his career where he hardly ever plays. And I think he did that to try to prolong his career in the NBA. Whereas Michael Sam, when he played for Missouri, he came out to his team. And they kept it, the whole team supposedly kept it a secret. And they were okay with him in the locker room. They all had his back. Then he decided to come out before the draft, which I think he fell 70 or 80 points after coming out. So, I mean, he went from maybe a late fifth pick to damn near not being drafted at all, just on him coming out. So, I mean, what does that tell you about the NBA? I mean, the Falcons had two picks in the seventh round. They had the second to the last and the fourth to the last pick. And do you think the Falcons would have picked a gay player being in the Bible Belt? Hell no. The Texans had the last pick. Texans? Gay? I mean, that's fucking water and oil right there. That's not going to happen. So the only place that was suitable for him was to go to St. Louis. I mean,
St. Louis is pretty southern, buddy. My old man grew up in St. Louis, and I'm pretty sure that they're still pretty southern. They might be a little bit more progressive than Atlanta, but, I mean, he should have ended up in California or New York if we're talking about accepting gays. Or, I mean, Colorado. Denver would have loved him. Jesus. We took the Bible thumper Tim Tebow. You know, we're all about bringing on the degenerate minorities that have some kind of... And it's not a deficiency. Again, being gay is not wrong. I'm just saying, I don't care that you're gay. That's something you can keep to yourself. And I'm not, you know, again, I'm not saying bottle it up, but I am. In the NFL, just pipe down about that. Nobody cares. Be a good football player and then come out, and it'd be much better, much more poetic if you came out later and said, oh, yeah, I whipped everybody's ass and I'm gay because I like doing people in the ass.
Totally agree.
But, you look like an idiot coming out now, and you suck. I mean, let's face it, Michael Sam is not that good. He's really not. And that's, again, send your hate mail, I hate gay people, blah, 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 whatever. You're a fucking moron if that's what you think. I mean, legitimately, this is going to be a problem in an NFL locker room.
At best, he should have went to San Francisco, in my opinion.
Hell yeah, San Francisco.
Yes, San Francisco and special teams. That's his bread and butter. That's where he's gonna play. He's gonna see maybe 5 minutes of games, if he makes a team. Big if.
All right. Well, I think we've covered the whole. The Dutch in Denver podcast may appear to hate gay people, but they really don't. Again, send your hate mail at Dutch in Denver. Let's move on. Let's move on to more people full of hate. Donald Sterling. This guy is a goldmine. He is such a demented moron. And I mean demented like he actually might have dementia. he's just gold. I mean, the guy has spent his whole life as a racist. He finally gets busted. The hammer's finally dropped. Lifetime ban. We've discussed it. Blah, blah, blah. So then he decides 2 weeks later he's going to go on Anderson Cooper on the CNN, which isn't Anderson Cooper gay?
He definitely dresses it.
Okay. I thought this was common knowledge. And if he's not, I apologize, Anderson. Maybe listen to the show. Come on and convince us otherwise one time. But so they put him in front of a possibly gay CNN anchor 2 weeks later to apologize for being a racist. And as we all know, because, I mean, hopefully you watched it, it went horribly bad. Like, I'm not sure his apology could have gone worse. He went from apologizing for being a racist to being an even bigger racist and bigot.
Alright. Okay, so I know you listeners didn't hear this conversation that I had with Dutch in Denver on my views about Sterling. I do not agree with the NBA stepping in. I'm not a racist, I swear. I do not agree that they should have taken his team because this was a conversation that he had in private with his whore girlfriend, whatever you want to call her.
Hooker, yeah.
And that's it. It wasn't at a game. It wasn't on a commercial. It wasn't on an interview. This bitch took a phone, put it on record mode, and led him, if you listen to it, she actually leads him into some of these racial allegations. Okay, that being said, now
Let's get into that. Because in his apology, he says that he was baited because the girlfriend of his refers to them as blacks. And what she had said is prior to recording is that she was going to bring some handsome or good-looking blacks to the game. And Donald Sterling, trying to be on her level, responded in the like vernacular and said, don't bring blacks to my game. Now, if you believe that in any sense, you're an idiot. But, I mean, that could be a viable defense. If she was baiting him into this and she kept using the word blacks and not recording it and then got him to say blacks as a crazy old white guy.
He is crazy. And
oh, he's out of his fucking mind.
He is like 180 years old. But if you go back and you listen to the tapes, I think she asks him, why are you being a racist? And why don't you like minorities, like 100 times, and he never actually comes out and gives her a reason. He's always deferring to some, you know, like, you're not making any sense, or why are you doing this to me? And, but I mean, besides that, I mean, to me, on grounds of him being in his own house, having his own beliefs, like, you know, you got Baptists, you got Satan worshipers, you got all these other people out here. If you own something and you're not making anything public on your own well-being, then nobody should have the right to take my house if I hate Indians, okay? If I hate Indians and my girlfriend who hates me records me saying, I can't stand Redskins. You know, all they do is drink all day and gamble. You know, does that give somebody the right to come and take my fucking house and land? No, it doesn't.
Okay,
now,
well, a couple of things,
Anderson
first of all.
Cooper interview, that kind of made me, he went on air, he made it public that he is just the worst piece of shit that you could actually be out there. Not only does he attack Magic Johnson, who is like one of the greatest basketball players of all time, but he starts bashing about going around every city, banging all these whores and being a horrible role model for kids because he's got AIDS. I mean, Jesus Christ, how shitty can you get?
Well, Anderson Cooper did correct him. We're not sure that he has AIDS. He has the HIV virus, so it's not full-blown AIDS yet in his defense. But, oh, I totally agree. I mean, first of all, back to your original point, though. Look, her recording him in private, that was not right. But that's in the past. It's done. It's out there in public. And it's slightly different from you, Sam, living in Atlanta, working for, you know, McDonald's, flipping burgers. You know, your opinion is not public forum. But when you own an NBA team, okay, and 99% of the people who attend your games, of the people who play for you, are black, you should probably keep that to yourself or your white supremacist friends, not your mixed-raced hooker. Now, I know it was low of her to record him like that, and I'm sorry that it happened that way, but, you know, it did happen, and it came out. So now that it's out, you're in a huge, powerful position, and, I mean, you need to be dealt with in the eyes of the fans and the players. I mean, in my eyes, I don't condone what he said, but, I mean, the guy's an idiot. I mean, he'll be dead in a couple years. Take his team away then. Now, going on Anderson Cooper and smashing Magic Johnson for, A, having, quote, AIDS, which he actually has HIV, being a horrible role model for banging a bunch of hookers, and then saying that the blacks don't do anything for their own kind when they have money, and then going a step further to comparing it to the Jews, who, when a Jew gets money, and I'm paraphrasing here, but this is kind of what he said, when a Jew gets his own money, he helps out other Jewish people. I mean, what is the guy thinking here?
Jews are about.
And
just kidding.
The guy is just, he's a goldmine. We'll have much more from Donald Sterling, I'm sure. He will, he'll forget the apology that he made this week. He'll probably have to apologize for something he says next week, or he'll have a rebuttal for Magic Johnson going on Anderson Cooper the next night. And, I mean, Magic Johnson, I think, handled it with class. We'll touch on this quickly, but, I mean, he went up there and he said, hey, you know, the guy's crazy and old, and I feel bad for him. And, I mean, I agree. You kind of, the guy's lost his nut. I mean, he's great for this. I mean, he has entertained me for going on 3 weeks now. I mean, I love this man. Every time he opens his mouth, he says something more moronic and dumbassy than he's dead the week before. But at a certain point, it's just like, let's leave the poor old guy go. Just die already, right?
Yeah. I do get the entertainment factor from it. It is awesome. The driving by somebody who just got in a car wreck kind of aspect.
And he is a car wreck. Oh, my God.
let me ask you a question. What do you think about, was it Shirley, his wife? What do you think about her trying to actually take over the team instead of somebody like Mayweather, or I'm sorry, I call him Gayweather because I can't stand him and I think he's gay, or Magic Johnson or Oprah and her two partners taking over the team?
Well, you know, I think his wife is another documented racist.
True.
Don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure we have some evidence that she is another racist. So keeping it in the Sterling family is the right thing to do, but probably not the best thing. I mean, again, the best thing for the media, because, you know, he'll croak and then his wife will come out, you know, bashing some other minority group. So we'll have this cycle start all over again. But I don't know. And where we go from here, I don't know. I mean, they're obviously going to try and take his team away. I don't think they're going to. I honestly don't think those owners are going to turn against him.
I think he lost it. I think him and his wife lost that team, and I would probably bet half of my savings that Magic Johnson's going to end up owning the Clippers, and Laker Nation is going to take a huge shit when that happens.
Well, they already took a huge shit. It was called the 2013 NBA season.
Yeah, dude.
God, they were horrible this
year. History.
All right, so you know, let's get into a little baseball. How are the Braves doing this year, buddy?
they're holding their own. Our pitching, Harang was great at the beginning of the season. Gavin Floyd, we just picked, got him back. I don't know. I've got mixed emotions about this team. I feel like our team is the Atlanta Braves. If they don't hit home runs, they're not going to win. And Mike Minor's kind of, I mean, he did win his last game, but they just came off a game, a three-game sweep of the Cubs, which that's not nothing to brag about because we're talking about the Cubs. But we just lost a three-game series to the fucking
Giants.
San Francisco Giants. We didn't get swept this time. We did win one game. Woo-hoo! But Jesus Christ, I mean, I don't know. We're still in first place in the East. I think it's going to be with Fernandez or whatever the fuck his name is from Miami going down with Tommy John surgery. I think it's going to be a crapshoot in the National League East between the Nationals and the Braves. I do think the Braves have a shot at either winning the division or picking up one of the wild cards. So, I don't know. Just have to wait and see.
Well, I'm glad you have hopes for the playoffs. I'm a Cardinals fan, but, you know, I live in Denver, so I have to pay attention to the Rockies as much as it pains me.
Got you coming up.
Oh, I mean, it's a joke. The local talk in Denver is how good our offense is. And this was, you know, after the past couple games, because the Kansas City Royals have seemed to just shut our offense down cold. We've got like 24 strikeouts in two games. I mean, unbelievably pathetic. But, you know, our offense was going real good, super, and everybody's on the Rockies' high horse. But again, we don't have any goddamn pitching. That's what wins championships, is defense. It's in every sport. Football, Seahawks, great defense, rape the Broncos. Okay, even in the NBA, a sport known for total lack of defense. The guys that win the championships are the teams that play just a tiny bit of defense are the ones that end up winning. In hockey, same thing happened to the Avalanche. Avalanche lost because they didn't have any defensemen. And we're back to the Rockies. We have no defense. Pitching is included in defense. And our pitching is god-awful. And we'll do a whole show on that. Don't worry. We'll get into baseball. But even our defense is terrible. Everybody's on this kid, Nolan Arenado, who won a Gold Glove last year. Super. What about this year? 40 games, seven errors. What?
Didn't he have like a 28-game hitting streak got snapped a couple nights ago?
Yeah, but again, that's offense. I'm talking about his defense, man. The guy's played 40 games, and he's got seven errors. He's on track for a 30-error season. And these aren't, like, questionable errors. These are airmailing first base by 30 feet. I mean, these are rookie moronic mistakes. There's teams that don't go a whole season with 30 errors as a team, and this kid's on track for 30 alone, and he's our defense. It's absolutely ridiculous the amount of knowledge that sports fans in Colorado lack when it comes to baseball. You guys are all fucking morons. You should listen to this podcast. Maybe you'll learn something, and then you won't go on your actual radio station that's not in a freaking garage like we are and sound like a complete idiot, because that's what you do. Anybody who thinks the Rockies are going to do anything but fail this year is a moron. They play this game every year. May, April, first place, second place. But come August, September, when it actually matters what place you're in, the Rockies are picking up the rear with shit pitching, questionable defense, and a slumpy offense. And I'm freaking tired of it.
Well, I told you preseason, and I hope you remember this.
Yeah, 3 to 4 years, the Rockies will be good. I don't believe you.
I still think that the Rockies have potential with their farm system. Anytime you ask any pitcher in MLB, what's the one place you don't want to pitch? And that's Coors Field. I mean, duh. I mean, I could hit a home run out of that ballpark. All right, you're like, what, 1,600 feet above sea level?
More like 5,000 feet above sea level. But close enough.
It's crazy. And you look at averages and home runs. Is there a reason why three of the top five are controlled by Colorado Rockies right now? So, yes, offense is definitely carrying your team right now. But, yes, I do agree with you that defense is going to be your Achilles heel in the next season or two. With youth, with the young kids, I do agree with you that you do need to pick up pitch team. And that comes down to, are the Colorado Rockies willing to spend the dollars? Now, the Braves just signed a deal, like, I don't know, a few months ago for a new ballpark. So what do? They did something that the Braves have never done. They went out and spent like $400 million extending contracts on all their favorite players, all right? I'm not saying the Colorado Rockies need to go out and spend $400 million because that's just ridiculous. But what they need to do is pick up not one but two. You need a number one and a number two, and it's a defense three and four.
And right? An entire bullpen.
Well, I mean, you can go out there, I mean, in my opinion, I've been a baseball. I'm not just a Braves fan. I'm a baseball fan. I've been a baseball fan since late '80s. Relief pitching has always been something that you groom from your farm system. Starting pitching, if you get lucky, you might land one great starting pitcher every 5 years. The rest of your starting pitchers, you have to trade for, or recruit from somewhere else. But relief pitchers, especially from the 90s to now, is something that has changed the game of baseball. You have very few pitchers that pitch past the sixth inning. So all you got to do is find somebody that can pitch great for sixth inning and then have a couple of good guys that can carry six or seven, eight, and get to your closer if you have a good closer.
And the Rockies have none of that. We don't have good starters. We don't have good middle relief. We don't have good relief. We don't have a good closer. We do not have good pitching. We have terrible pitching for all intents and purposes. And we're going to have to leave it at that, because I'm going to get pissed if we don't. I mean, we spend all our money on dumb shit like Troy Tulowitzki, who, A, is not that. I mean, he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's way too streaky. He's a little bitch. All right, he got thrown out of the game today because he's arguing balls and strikes. The Cardinal rule...
That was worthy because that...
The Cardinal rule, dude. The number one rule in baseball is do not argue balls and strikes, and dumbass Tulowitzki's up there arguing balls and strikes.
I agree with you, but he was cheated on that.
Okay, one time. I've watched that idiot watch a million third strikes go right by, and he just stands there with his thumb up his ass. So what we do is we sign Tulowitzki, who plays half a year every year because he's injured or his legs are heavy, and we give him a 10-year contract worth $10 billion. And then we go to Cargo, another 10-year contract worth another $10 billion, who hurts his little finger and can't play for 6 months. It's ridiculous. We cannot figure out what's the difference between good talent and bad talent. And we sign people to too long, too big of contracts. We're paying Helton $17 million a year when he should have been gone 4 years ago.
Maybe Denver should stop worrying too much about what you call their restaurant business and start getting down to baseball business. 15 minutes.
Well, they are a restaurant with a baseball team.
Yep. I mean, I still think that they have a pretty good team. They have not right now. I mean, of course they have a pretty good team right now because, I mean, they're winning ball games. But I think that in 3 to 5 years, if they develop the right kind of pitching, I think that Rockies can contend again.
Okay, well, we'll continue this in 3 to 4 years. All right, dude, we got to get out of here, but first of all, I want to hear how this Mother's Day thing went. So a little backstory here. Sam is out of town and couldn't be there for Mother's Day. And he gives his mother certain gifts every year like a good son should. But he wasn't in town for Mother's Day, so he couldn't do it. So his girlfriend, this is what I hear, who mom doesn't like because she dresses like a hooker. No offense. But dresses like a hooker. Mom doesn't like her, but she volunteers to bring mom the gifts. And Sam has no guts, so he can't tell the girlfriend no. So he ends up giving her the go-ahead. So, first of all, what did she bring mom?
It's the German teddy bear. I'll have to get back to you on the...
Yeah, I don't care what the actual name is. So she brings mom a teddy bear at the house?
And, yes, that and a flower and a card that I had given.
Okay. And, I mean, what happened? Did mom throw her out?
No. So I'm in Atlanta. She's all nervous. You know, she texts me saying, oh, I'm close, you know. What should be the first thing I say to her? You know, I'm in the parking lot. Should I just go in or should I knock? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this isn't the stuff. It's just, you've been there like 100 times. My mom does not like Holly, okay? She doesn't, because she thinks that she's a bad influence on me, and she thinks that she dresses a little too slutty. She is She's 9 years younger than me, okay? So a girl 9 years younger than any guy is going to dress sluttier, okay? So she goes in, and she gives her the gifts that I give her, and you know those embarrassing half-hug pats on the back?
Was she dressed like a slut, though, to drop the presents off to your mother?
Easter Sunday, baby. Easter Sunday. That's okay. What I told her.
Okay.
Yeah, she got one of those half-ass attaboy pats on the back. So she completely poker-faces it, right? And gets in her car and drives away, and then she gets out of her cell phone and calls me, and she's like, oh, my God, that was so horrible.
I love it.
Yeah. Mom was glad about the present. Still gives me shit about the girl, but, you know, she gives good head. So.
All right, dude. Well, you know what? I want you to call your mom and tell her Holly's pregnant and see what happens. And we're going to – I want to hear about this next week. All right, if your mom's still alive after the heart attack. All right, man. We got to get out of here. That's it for us. This is Dutch in Denver. Find us on the Twitter, at Dutch in Denver, at Godhead 007. Get on the iTunes, subscribe. Even if you don't like it, still subscribe. Show your friends. Probably don't show your parents or your girlfriend, but listen, subscribe, learn sports. We're out of here.